for your pictures to be taken. And only if it goes on film. Not if it goes on an electronic screen.
By speaking, that's more problematic
than the normal one. You say it's preferable to avoid it, because maybe because it's like, it might be an instant to rabbanon, but only if you deliberately do it, and only, and you have no choice, but you're going to do it. If you don't have a choice, do you really want to do it? You just have to walk that way, so then that's okay.
No, it's the normal, and it's normal. The thing in a microphone, the issue is that isn't that electricity, you said it's not chol, that isn't that chol Shabbos?
Why?
Because your electricity, when you speak, it's making electricity great.
It's not making electricity. Electricity is there all the time.
I don't see anywhere anyone speak in a microphone on Shabbos.
Of course they don't do it, because it's not Shabbosic.
In this case, why am I the
It doesn't maintain the proper atmosphere on Shabbos. But it's not strictly Osir, now that everything, when there are vacuum tubes, then there was heat and there was light, and then it would have been Issur D'oraisa. But now it's definitely not an Issur D'oraisa, unless you're causing lights to go on and off. Mm-hmm. Which could be, maybe there are lights, but...
But someone could have, there is professional people which always says light on off the level. Not
necessarily
lighting,
there
is number of...
Yeah, no, I know, that would be a problem.
Yeah, but could you light them too?
Yeah, that would be a problem. If you knew that was there, that would be a problem.
But you have to search for the whole
equipment to see. Yeah, so I don't know if you have a chiv to do that. If you don't see it, then I don't know if you have to take that into account. Because you don't care about the light. Obviously, if you don't see those lights going on and off, you don't care about them. So that's it's at best it's a psikreshes lo nichole, meaning it's something which is going to happen, but you don't have any interest in it. And that on Shabbos might be mutter. It's certainly only this is rabbanon if it's osur. Anyway, I'm not recommending people speak to microphones on Shabbos. it's not good public policy. But strictly osur. There is room for meaning to use. It's a Klal Yisrael, it's been makabel not to use them. Very similar to what Chazish says about umbrellas. He says there's no real issur to use an umbrella on Shabbos.
That's something I've always wondered about. Because I've always wondered about this one. The use of an umbrella on Shabbat. Because they say, well, if you open it up on Shabbat, you're creating an olah, right?
No.
If that assumption is true, then what prevents you from being able to open it beforehand and then be able to
read
it?
Right.
That never made sense to me.
So maybe that says carrying an umbrella.
I don't understand. The street was open umbrella and it was lying on the street, and that, listen, Akiva, what's the problem? It's open and I just could pick up, it's raining. So I said, I gotta put it, it's out of corner. He said, you can do whatever you want, but nobody's gonna marry you afterwards.
Yeah. So the problem is that Nagy Yehuda, one of the postgame of the 18th century, he writes that also to carry an umbrella because it's like you're making an OL, not when you're opening it, when you're carrying it over your head to protect yourself.
What's
an OL? An OL is a tent. It's like building a tent.
Already made it.
Yeah.
It's already open. What
because you are...
I'm carrying it, I move it. It's
right.
L.
Right, so everywhere you go, you're carrying and making a tent in that place.
I'm not making, I carry the tent with me.
According to Nagy Yehuda, it'll be also to carry a tent on Shabbos.
If there is air.
No, air doesn't allow for carrying everything.
I'm not just carrying mukta,
it's not mukta. So, but according to Nagy Yehuda, it is mukta. I mean, it's not mukta, but you can't use it. So the Chaz, wait a second, just a minute. The Chazanish says that it's not an OL. He doesn't understand how this could be seen as making an OL on Shabbos. In fact, you're walking around with the umbrella, open umbrella. But he says that the Chazanish says there are certain things which are also to do because they're not Shabbosic. They don't. Right. They desecrate the public aura of Shabbos. Now the Gemara speaks about making loud noises or having a mill grind on Shabbos, even if it's run by water, right? Not by human involvement. So that's called avsha milsa, something which is too public, and therefore it is forbidden. So umbrellas, he says, fall into the same category. So another example of that is bicycles. It's no strict institute about bicycle on Shabbos, right?
No,
but we don't make Xeris on our own.
That's
my understanding
of why
you're there. What's
Xeris?
Who made
the Xeris? I heard that you should because you come sick from bicycle. That's my understanding of why
you're going to use bicycle Shabbos. No, that's not the reason. The reason is because it's not Shabbos. And Chrysler intuitively doesn't use bicycles because it's not Shabbos.
Intuitively.
Yeah.
look,
why do you need an Aver for? Not carrying the bicycle.
Oh, true.
Yeah. You don't need an Aver. So, the same thing is true about microphones. Microphones nowadays, in our day and age, to use an amplification system does not entail, and this is the Raisa, and probably no this is the Rabbonah.
But it definitely would be okay.
What?
Then a recorder would definitely be okay.
Recorder?
No.
Yeah. If it's automatically,
that's close safe.
What?
That's writing.
It's writing? It's recording. It's
yeah.
Not writing.
That's writing.
It's electronic.
How's it writing?
It's electronic.
Oh, the electronic. What's called the magnetic field is like writing.
Whoa!
It stays there. It's not like electronic pixels on the screen, which constantly are appearing and disappearing. Once you make a magnetic imprint on whatever you're doing—a cassette tape, a CD,
an MP3 player—
it's there. It remains there, right?
So you can delete it.
Yeah, until you delete it, right?
Wow.
So it's ksiva mitkayemet. Now, it's not real ksiva, but that in and of itself, it could be construed to be an issur rabbanan because you're creating a permanent record. It might not be seen, but who's to say that ksiva has to be something which you can see? Perhaps the record in and of itself is forbidden to make. It's not going to be the raisa, that's for sure. It's only going to be the rabbanan. Where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, though, if you format a hard drive on Shabbos, or anything, that's issur the raisa. But that's by electronic circuits.
What's
the story? It's by a hard drive. If you have a hard drive which you cannot use,
right,
and you make it usable,
right,
by formatting it,
right,
that's called bromine.
Yeah, my thing wasn't doing that.
What?
I wasn't trying to
do
that.
Oh, right. That's the light switch.
Heard this before?
What?
The trouble
was awesome. Oh, it's famous. Yeah, everybody knows.
I asked him about it. He didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know the other problem.
You didn't know about the cognition, bone, and electricity?
No, about the supposedly around talking about Shlomo Zalman. He was going to come out with some type of, like, the way he learned the halacha differently. If he come out before the cognition, he would have been able to use light switches according to the way he was talking.
Not to make light,
but because the cognition, he said the only reason you can't turn light on Shabbos is because
It's also ish. You'd be allowed to complete a circuit which did not create light or heat.
Right.
Well, it's like picking up your telephone receiver.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying there could be a time though that someone would call a shop and let's say you could like pick it up on the phone, no problem.
I'm going back to the not Shabbos thing. I don't think it was considered Shabbos. And at one point it was also, because at one point, you know, the way it worked actually was that there was a real live person, a switchboard operator, who would pull a plug from one place and put it into another place. It's hard to even imagine that nowadays, but this actually was the way it worked. So,
really?
Yeah.
Like, hold on a second, how do they do it?
So this shows everything old movies.
Yeah.
Jim A. Hudson 651 operator.
I know, I'm playing.
Right. So,
it's just funny to hear you talk about it,
dude.
What? Through the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, not all the way through the '50s. Since the '50s. Yeah.
This thing lost the I can see it all coming back now. They got like.
So, even if you dialed, right, also an operator would be not completely automatic. Maybe right, maybe something from the 1930s or 40s. But in any event, so then it was definitely us, because like I'm here laughing, you're telling a person to connect you to somebody else, right?
Right.
And plug in things which weren't plugged in before, and turn on lights probably, and all sorts of other things. But, so it was, at one point it might have been Issa D'oraisa. Now it's not Issa D'oraisa, but already it's not accepted to do it. It's not Shabbos day. But in an emergency, you should always have at least one phone in your house, which I don't have at the moment actually, one phone which has no lights,
mm-hmm.
no, and you should be, and if you have an emergency, you pick it up and you make a phone call.
I thought someone said you had to deal with shinui. Why?
Yeah, you do the shinui. We do the shinui. That's a chumrah.
Oh,
to be chashish for the chazanish, yeah.
So why would you have it so far?
Emergencies.
Okay,
emergency which is not outright pikuach nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying one which is not outright pikuach nefesh. There's somebody's something very sick.
Right. Yeah. How do you like? I mean, what's the dividing line between pikuach nefesh and somebody who has
pikuach nefesh is imminent life threatening.
High fever could be like
how it could be or could be.
Right. High fever usually nowadays high fever is not life threatening. You just give the person Tylenol.
How about the eye thing? How about someone's
eyes
like
dilated
eye pupils?
I don't know.
Something
like
some
eye or something.
Going way beyond my area of expertise.
Dilated pupils.
What do you mean dilated pupils? They put little drops into your eyes to dilate your pupils. That's life threatening?
I can't feel my voice. He said dilated.
That's not
life threatening. Dilated pupils is possible brain damage.
So of course they go up now.
Wouldn't be?
You would.
Okay, but you can get them from other things. I keep judging it.
You don't. You make them, you err on the side of caution and you call a doctor.
Okay.
So.
But, sometimes if someone needs antibiotics, it is Mekuach Nefesh. Antibiotics could be Mekuach Nefesh. People who die by not getting antibiotics.
Okay. It could be. Usually it's not. Usually you can wait till after Shabbos, but if you're in a pinch, then you can actually make a phone call. Definitely, once a phone is connected, there's no real issue to talk on the phone.
Mm.
It just doesn't look right. It's the same thing as talking to somebody who's wearing a hearing aid.
Mm.
Anybody who has hearing aids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talk to them on Shabbos?
I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. It's not Shabbos day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You talk to them on Shabbos? Right. Talking to a microphone? You sinner.
What?
I mean, in a hearing aid, there's a microphone and an amplifier. It's basically like your stereo system. It's just miniature.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's because there's no loud voice being reproduced, which actually people hear, which is not Shabbos thing. It's going straight into his ear.
Well, wouldn't that be a little bit different? Because it's Caitlin, you know the Machlokes between the Sham and Yisrael, if you're allowed to make Caitlin work on the Sham.
What does that do with this?
Because that's your Caitlin, that's just
work. No! She says Caitlin was, I don't do a mice, the Caitlin are working on their own. So who's asking that before? If you start formatting a drive from before Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
That's a quick question she says Caitlin. So Queen of Beisham would be awesome to have a continued formatting on Shabbos, because you're Caitlin and her resting, and Queen of Beisham. But here, you're speaking into the mic.
But the guy with the hearing aid, he put it in before Shabbos.
No, sir, it's not his, it's your answer.
Oh, by speaking to
him. Right. But it's not. Nobody asks that. I mean, they're crazy people who ask anything. But nobody asks him why, because it's not the public, not Shabbosic spectacle of having a boombox going. It's not the same thing with a hearing aid. So therefore, we're making one.
So you're allowed to continue speaking into a phone. Wait, so somebody calls me from South Africa. I don't know. The call was from South Africa. I figured out that it's...
No, it's not Shabbat here.
It's you out there, and it's not Shabbat here. Can I continue speaking to them?
No. Because they might be in the call of Shabbat.
Well, they definitely were in the call of Shabbat. I call them.
Right. That's also the problem watching television or accessing websites in Israel once Shabbat has begun there.
I can't call Shabbos, no, but it was a server.
Oh,
what? It's server somewhere in...
Right, so I think with the internet it's okay, but we used to, like in the Gulf War, so people used to watch television, listen to the radio, with from Israel, which is 7 hours ahead, when it was Reish Shabbos there.
Oh, wow.
So that's not so partial to do.
Why?
Because you're being nene from their Chilul Shabbos.
Whoa. So I'm not allowed to call my brother from Eretz Yisrael and say hello, good Shabbos, into the, what's it called, the good Shabbos, into his meshing machine?
He didn't say this is my machine, as long as he doesn't start talking to.
Yeah.
What?
It doesn't benefit.
Right. Do you actually do that?
Why not?
I'm going to ask you why not. Did you actually do that? What? Does he get a thrill about you saying a traffic to his message machine?
No, wait, that could be used as a way of relaying information, though. Because with an answering machine, they could be standing around it, listening, and it'd be okay for you to talk into it. So
right.
Yeah,
although he himself should not have his answering machine rolled out on Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah.
So the rabbi, I mean...
Because unless he's afraid of something called nefesh issue or some emergency, because otherwise, that's the issue. The issue is not that loud on natural voices.
Uh-huh.
And this answering machine is a loud on natural voice.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Ron
and Alan, I know
he
has a daughter's fault,
but
she might have had a baby.
Child,
she might have a baby,
so. Okay, obviously, if it's extenuating circumstances. That's the point. Since precisely because it's really not us, it's just not Shabbos sick, so they're extenuating circumstances.
That's not an emergency, because what...
Do you know the Bekaf Akula about the radios, clock radios
or
Shabbos?
No, what?
I'll give you the Bekaf Akula. It's very important clue to remember. It doesn't work all the time. Which is, if you have a clock radio or anything like that, which goes off Shabbos morning,
right.
And the volume control is a simple dial without any lights going on and off,
right.
Just a dial from 0 to 10 or something like that, you can turn off the volume on Shabbos.
What?
You can't turn it off, but you can turn down the volume.
You
can
put it down on a simple dial. It's got like an electrical, like a little thing inside it.
Right, a capacitor.
Yeah, there's like a little,
Right.
Does that count? It's electrical, it's like, it's like that.
Circulating. If you have like a light, can you do it?
No! There's light involved. There's no light involved in it.
Oh, because you could say it's already voted, it's already connected, it's already built.
It's connected, and you're not disconnecting it, you're just lowering the volume.
We had an incident in our room with the clock went off with like a song, but we couldn't try it, so it went off for an hour, at like 6 a.m.
Oh, man!
Yeah, that's the worst. But that, it doesn't always work, because sometimes the LEDs just go on and off, they change the volume, and...
Oh, yeah, because on that side, it went like this, the light would turn on and show me how low I'm going.
You need like old school GE, like flip.
They still make them that way,
yeah.
Yeah, they have volume controls. So the cheaper models have cheap volume controls, they're just dials, which you will.
You mean you could
probably, are you allowed to cover with a pill? Because
you need it's mostly. Well, you're allowed to cover with a pill. It's not the practice that mixed in that sense. Told you it's worth knowing that one.
Okay, so
only thing, when you turn the volume on and off, it's like you have a pipe through which water is flowing, and you make it larger or smaller.
Ooh.
Let more electrons through, let less electrons through.
Ooh.
But it's not you're not making a circuit, right? Nor are you changing any light or any heat.
Right.
So therefore, not a problem.
I never asked
a
question on the whole thing. Like,
what?
How do you?
This is very little to the
go ahead. Have you answered up the whole you shouldn't go shopping for Shilas, idea about the whole deal, don't look for coolers, that's how we mistake the whole.
It's not 100% accurate you shouldn't look for coolers. It's that if you have a rub by who you pass it all the time, you shouldn't try and find another rub who's going to be made for you. But if you don't have a rub, right? Or even if you have a rub, but you tell the second rub, I already asked my rub and he said it's awesome. Will you be macho anyway? This is really on him, not on you.
Ooh.
He's not supposed to be macho when somebody else asks him. So if he's willing to do it, then you're in good shape. Okay?
Well,
if you went to rub A and rub A said something was awesome, you're allowed to go to rub B and say, rub B, you are known to be a very big maker. No offense, but you give lots of coolers. You should know that Rav A told me this is awesome. will you love me be matzah nevertheless? So it's really an issur on him to be matzah to you. Right? So in which Allah, somebody offers you, he's not allowed to be matzah to you. But if he's willing, nevertheless, he matzah for you, so he's going to burn in hell, not you.
But why? If he finds different reasons or finds different goals or whatever.
Ahem, if he's convinced that this is the truth, there's no two ways about it, but usually questions like this are murky. You know, this can go either way.
But
and now, let's say somebody keeps Klal Yisrael, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he doesn't want to keep Klal Yisrael anymore. So he goes to Rav, and Rav says, and he says, Rav, listen, my rabbi told me I should keep Klal Yisrael, but I don't want it anymore. I know you don't keep Klal Yisrael. Will you be matir me not to keep Klal Yisrael? So he might say yes. He might say, listen, there, Klal Yisrael is a complicated issue. There are both sides of the coin here. You ask your Rav, he told you to keep it. You should listen to your Rav.
Slightly more off topic.
How far off topic
can we be? Can you dive in Crocs?
You dive in Crocs?
It is a backless slipper. No, it has a back.
True. Let's say you took another back on
it. Why don't you see a problem? Why would that be a problem?
It's not also, but it's not also dive in Crocs, but I wouldn't do it.
So it's one of those you can but shouldn't.
Right.
Okay, wait, the whole subject of something that you can but shouldn't. This is something I've always wondered about. So if I can but should, why just can't I anyway if I just really, really, really wanted to?
What?
The whole class of things.
But you shouldn't do it.
You can't but shouldn't.
Right.
But I can. So whether or not I should, what does that matter?
Are you going to walk into the basement in a Hawaiian t-shirt and shorts?
I can, but I shouldn't.
Right. So you understand that, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's the problem? What do you mean? People walk in the street all the time in Hawaiian t-shirts and shorts.
Yeah,
that's not Mavaza.
Why is Mavaza Beis Medrash? If we walk down the street like that, how's Mavaza Beis Medrash coming like that?
Okay, so there's no dress code for the Beis Medrash. It's completely, you could come in with kashra, you know, there's no...
Well, you shouldn't, right? Yeah. So I don't know what that's. What do you want exactly?
Why shouldn't you with the Crocs?
What?
Why shouldn't
that's the zero bottom, by the way?
If you're on vacation and not near any community, so then I understand that being Crocs. Because the standards are lower. But if you're a place where people generally don't wear Crocs, right?
Right.
But for formal occasions. Right, so examiner's glasses is like diving with sneakers.
Ooh. Could I get a little bit more tactic?
Yes.
Is there anything wrong with having like meat and like soy cheese? Because people really think it's like a cheeseburger, you know.
If you board up your house and you don't know if you need it, you're
not
cool.
No, you should have soy cheese on the table when you're doing it.
Ooh.
Why be machmir?
Right. If you drink a lot, then you should drink.
You should drink
six gallons. Yeah. There's 6 gallons in the blood. Yeah.
You should have a tail. Wait, what is the thing?
Well, there is a good thing to fish blood, and it's supposed to be fish something somewhere for people who
fish scale inside the cup.
Right? Oh, okay.
Oh.
I can have it though.
I know, bro.
It's a restaurant thing. Have a restaurant serve real burgers with soy cheese. I still have like, a giant wrapper on the front window saying, we serve soy cheese here. And
the Vera, the
Polish
and
Public?
Soy cheese really worth it?
Yes. Texture, Rabbi. What's your texture?
You can get soy cheese has the same texture as regular cheese?
When it's melted? Yeah.
Does the soy cheese actually melt the same way?
It looks like it.
There is no cheese.
It is
cheese.
The soy milk cheese. It's like margarine, same texture. Nothing.
Put it worse than that, right? And guys, I was sneaking like all the time. So like, Crocs would fit in there, though.
But you wouldn't. He might. But not you.
Hit
right?
That. Darn! I would have to like a hike or something like that. I didn't go back to my room and see the shoes first.
If I'm committing no bears, I'll bring my sneakers in the basement, right?
No.
I'm not doing very easy. Well, that's Crocs.
No. But you shouldn't wear them.
Not miss.
Like if your feet are hurting, it's more comfortable wearing Crocs.
If you have a foot problem, then that's something else.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're talking about just you want to look cool.
I'm talking about like you have a foot problem or like it's hard for you to wear
someone's
time.
Yeah.
Okay. Once we're off topic, are there any other questions or should we go to actually do something about with your friend? Yes.
Is it wrong for women to have a yellow shade tone?
Yes.
Why?
Any neon color is not clear
to me. Seriously? Really? I want it dark green.
Dark green is probably not a problem. Out there, but some people question her sanity, of course. In terms of halacha, it's probably not a problem.
Alright, and
when
it says
a
woman should have a I heard a opinion that a woman can have one tenth by one tenth off of hair visible if it's sneezed. Now that test the tenth off of surface area or by volume?
By surface area.
Okay.
When
no,
we
say
Eliyahu Hanavi is going to reveal Mashiach, what is this supposed to mean?
Not accurate.
Not accurate.
No.
Could you tell us why it's not accurate?
Eliyahu Hanavi either precedes Mashiach or comes after Mashiach.
Right, so if he precedes Mashiach and he reveals who Mashiach is.
He doesn't have to reveal Mashiach, because Mashiach is himself.
So how do you know who he is?
Who?
It has to be that the rabbis are going to respect him. How do we know who Mashiach is?
Then rabbis might not respect him. He has to do three things, and then we know he's Mashiach.
And then what are three things?
He has to fight the enemies of his own and be victorious in battle.
Okay.
He has to gather all the exiles into the land of Israel.
Okay.
And rebuild the temple.
Right.
If he does that, he's Mashiach.
Can he die and come back?
What?
Can he die and come back again?
Why not?
The Rebbe still viable.
What?
The Rebbe still viable.
The Rebbe did all these things already.
He should come back again. He come back in Mashiach.
Right.
Okay, what's the problem then?
The problem is it's different to say the Rebbe might be Moshiach,
right.
and function accordingly, than to rearrange all the facts or all the principles as to keep the Rebbe being Moshiach.
Mm.
In other words, while the Rebbe was alive, they quoted a series of sources to prove that the Rebbe was Moshiach.
Yes.
Including the Rambam holds Mashiach doesn't die before completing his task.
Right.
Right. After he died, they had to find a whole other slew of sources.
Oh.
Which contradicts the sources they used when he was alive.
Oh.
So the constant here is that he's Mashiach. The sources that we then line up in order to support the premise.
That sounds tricky.
That's a distortion.
Yeah. Right. That sounds. Yeah.
Who's more convincing Mashiach? Shaltek, me or the Rebbe?
Shabbat Tzvi actually convinced more people. A much higher proportion of the Jewish people, for sure.
It could be like a person might be think he's Mashiach, and then let's say he beat the enemies of Israel, and then most of the Jews in the war make Kaliyah, but then the person died. The temple is not rebuilt.
Okay, so he, whoops.
Right,
now it's here. If he dies, then he's like any Jewish king, and you know, give him a nice, respectable burial. But he wasn't Mashiach because he didn't complete the mission.
Hey, a lot of these Mashiach die. It's a bit hard to believe that all these like events are going to occur.
Yeah, it is very hard to believe.
So you could have. You could have had someone like David Ben Gurion do the same thing.
Oh.
So he could have, you know, he could have had
right, there is a shita that the political leader of the Jewish people at any given time is the Mashiach ben Yosef.
Whoa.
Rav Cook gave a hefty for her throne, which he called her to Mashiach ben Yosef.
Oh, but there are other rabbis, probably there's a lot of controversy.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Like, let's say we're going to Mashiach.
What? What's the matter?
But Zohar had such fire in his eyes in the video as being when he talked about Herzl. It was like, it wasn't...
I don't care what, why is Herzl such a bad guy?
He said Herzl, like his kids, he didn't want his kids to give a kid circumcision, he didn't want his kid to be Jewish, he didn't want to be a Jew, like...
Okay, but he
anything.
Said...
So what? Like, he has to say that.
He was assimilated. He was assimilated Jew.
He didn't know any better.
Yeah. Herschel was not such a bad guy. Herschel wasn't such a bad guy. I don't think Herschel was such a bad guy.
No. He didn't,
there are a lot of people.
Not the best way, but he
there are a lot of people who were Frum and then became Zionists and no longer remain Frum.
Mm-hmm.
You can say those are bad people.
Mm-hmm.
But Herschel was never Frum.
I don't understand why people are so against Ben Yehuda. I'll tell you why. Why it bothers me. Because Ben Yehuda didn't know anybody, just whatever. And then people started being that nice. And they didn't want to be from. I don't understand why people are so against Ben Yehuda.
The father of modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
I don't know. He picked a bad place to live, that's for sure.
Why?
He was from Lyme.
Like, how the Jews are going to go back to Israel? I mean, it's more or less like being banned in the division. Yeah, you can picture that. We're doing the thing, you can picture that. But getting all the Jews back to Israel, I mean, that's really hard to imagine.
Yeah, so I don't think necessarily have to gather all the Jews into Israel. Because the odds are that at least at the beginning of the Yesh Mashiach, there's still going to be lots of Jews in Muncie. It happened the time of the second. It happened the time of the second temple for sure. And probably about the first temple that there were a lot of. There was a diaspora, right? There was a thriving diaspora. It means those who are being persecuted will no longer be persecuted. Those ones who are being persecuted will be able to be brought to Eretz Yisrael and get out of persecuted countries in which they're persecuted. That means everybody has to go back. Yeah. Yes.
When I stay on top of it, reading an article tomorrow on the footnote, they said that the Jews will really slavery in Israel for 86 years.
In Egypt,
I mean. Egypt, I mean.
Yeah.
How does that like, come down like the 210 or 400?
210 was the amount of time they were in Egypt. 86 years of actual services.
Oh. Why do we keep using numbers like you're enslaved in Egypt for 400 years?
It doesn't say it. It says we were sojourners for 400 years. Yeah.
Okay, I have a problem with quotes given in the class. There's so many different, like, gematrias done and different nuances. Like, people pick apart the nuances of what they said, why they didn't use one word and why another, and why it's spelled a certain way. Some of these things that they write are somewhat contradictory to one another, and there's so many things written. How could they have in mind, like if somebody is directly quoted in the Torah, how could they have in mind all these different things that they're said to have been keeping in mind when they said something?
They didn't have it in mind.
They didn't have it in mind, then it's just people later on saying on their behalf? Okay, then how can we view that in any way accurate? Or
we don't. We don't know how to learn halakha from things like that.
You don't learn halakha, but it's like people just like say over things using these like cute little number things or cute little.
Okay, so
no problem. Right?
What's that problem?
Yes, there's no. So they didn't have these things.
That's
fine, right?
Yeah, we don't.
So each commentator on like the Mechazoa's way like, would be like a nice suggestion, a nice idea.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, a lot of Rishonim had the attitude, although I don't really understand this, but a lot of Rishonim had the attitude that even Chazal, when they gave up shot, okay, that's Chazal's shot. I'm entitled to say differently. Okay, for classic cases, the case of the Balas Ov, the woman, the witch who brought up Shmuel from the dead in order to tell Shaul that he was going to die tomorrow in battle. So, the Chachamim seem to take that very, very literally. Shmuel came up from the dead. So the Radak and the Rabban say it was all a hallucination.
Ooh.
They were high on something. But they said it didn't actually take place. So I can argue with Chazal. So they hold, these Rishonim and other Rishonim, that Chazal's pshat is a pshat, but it's only a pshat. And I can also say pshat.
Yeah.
Because of how much.
Sorry? That's not halacha. Right, that's not halacha, yeah.
Mm. Wow. That must have been
a great then. Yeah,
sure. Okay, but we can't do it because of the Moron
factor. That's because we're the Moron factor, yeah. Yes.
Why
we can't offer something like that.
Oh, on the
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go over why the whole life on Shabbos is becoming... how that works.
What does it come up?
No, like being able to kill
you life. You asked me, right?
Being able to kill life.
I answered it, didn't I?
You said it's too much for a quick conversation.
That what I said?
Something like that.
There are different opinions about life and Shabbos. There was opinions of, in the 18th century in Italy of the Pach of Yitzchak Lam Parnasi. He said, the man is ain't out to life and Shabbos because we found out they reproduce sexually. So the, I was once speaking to Rabbi Soloveitchik in Chicago, and he said that were he alive at the time of Yitzchak Lam Parnasi, he would have put him in Cherem because he's being degrading the words of Chazal. I think that they're incorrect. And he said, Chazal knew that they reproduce sexually, but since it's not revealed to the naked eye, right? Because it's very difficult to see, and very rare you actually see life mating with each other. So therefore, it's as if they reproduce asexually, and therefore you're allowed to kill them on Shabbos, because that's going to be truly alive, like bacteria.
Do you still hold that, that they reduce asexually, so they're not mukhs on Shabbos?
That's what a radical innovation would say. Right? And other folks came as well.
So using that logic.
No, I'm not finishing. Then there's the back office theory. The back office theory, I think, is the most proper approach to this issue. And, which is that it doesn't matter whether they reproduce sexually or asexually. Once Chazal made the law, it's stuck on God. You've got to follow what Chazal said. So if you kill a louse, and you go up to Shemayim after 20 years, and God says to you, or the heavenly tribunal says to you, hey, didn't you know that life is produced sexually? You can just go like this. Chazal said it's mutter. You can't do a thing to me. Because Chazal, since they are the legislators, they set up the laws, and God, who is the executive branch, has got to abide by the laws that they set up.
And set up that way so that you could kill
life on
Shabbos
and
deciding
it
might be really annoying.
I don't think that's why they set up that way.
So.
I think they probably did think they reproduced asexually. So what?
So I can't follow, let's say I'm a dasyofe, right? But everyone passes, like the case of Eliezer and Olo Sochanan. He wasn't allowed to go ahead and talk and say, okay, I hold this as, let's say this meat is kosher, everyone says it's not kosher. I can't eat this, because they say it's not kosher, I can't eat the piece of meat.
You say it's kosher.
I say it's kosher, but everyone here, which are the rabbis and whatever, the Sanhedrin.
Who cares what they say? You know it's kosher, you can eat it.
So why was he so upset at me?
Who?
At Eliezer, when he said the oven was tahar. And they said it was
coming. No, because he was talking for everybody else, not for himself.
Oh,
the famous story is in Bar Mitzvah, Daf Nun Tet, why they put Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus in Cherem. You don't know the story?
No.
It's a very important story.
It's classic.
Yeah, you gotta go read it. Bar Mitzvah 59b. The, there's a machlokes about a certain thing about the tumah and tahara status of a certain type of clay vessel which is attached to the ground. But as it says, once it breaks, it's tumah. Chachamim say no, even once it breaks, it's tumah. Okay? So the Gemara says they argue about this at great length, and each person brought miraculous proof to their side of the equation, their side of the argument, and finally Rabbi Eliezer brought a proof that Hashem himself said, guys, lay off. I love it, like Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yeshua said, you wrote me a Torah after Rabbi Mahatos. We follow the majority. And the majority of us oppose Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, we overrule you. And then one of the Amoraim or Tanoim later met Elio Anovi and asked him, we didn't hear Hashem's response. What did Hashem respond to that? When Rabbi Yeshua said, that we're right and we are psychos. So he said that Hashem said, Nitzchuni Bonai Nitzchuni. My children have been victorious over me, they have been victorious.
Wow.
So from here we see the Bekafer principle, which is that this, once Hashem created the world and gave the Torah over to us, we set the rules, not him.
Wow.
Yeah. So he refused to get in, so they put him in a shame. It's a long story. Yeah.
Let's say I want to become a Kabbalist.
Like, I want to become a doctor.
Yeah. I'm not saying, well, it'd be nice if I became, but I mean, like, any general, how do people get into Kabbalah? Like, is there like a special yeshiva that they tell, you know, you're ready now, go to
I know, there are no, there are no feeder schools for the Kabbalah yeshiva. Yeah. You just have to find out about them and go there. But if you want to start a Kabbalah, the best place to start is with our Rabbi Arya Kaplan. Firstly, meditation and Kabbalah.
Not now, like after 40, like.
Okay, and then we interspace, and then get back to me.
Why do you say 40?
What? Didn't we talk about 40 earlier?
You don't have to wait 40 for that really. Yeah. That's it. Right. So people get like confused with learning Alex Bach. And most of them generally wouldn't find that special Kabbalah unless you really have to look for it. You have to like just learn read on fire or something, right? Or
well. No, even that, yeah, you have to get really, really heavy into it, yeah.
Oh, but the question, don't learn English. Is that okay to read?
That's fine.
You don't understand anything.
But it doesn't mean... No, you can read the Zohar like a regular Medrash. It's saying that taking Medrash Rabbah off the shelf and reading it.
Really?
No,
my friend says it's very confusing. It's very much out of order. It's not like... You know, it's like one part of things over here, and another, it's like not laid out.
Right.
Like, would it have that type of Kabbalah? No,
or
not? Like, that's it.
What kind of Kabbalah
Zohar?
Oh, that's
What's the point? Really?
Like eating the pits of an orange.
Really?
You don't have to tell them you're learning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why,
well,
is it
fun
life
to be fun? It's nice to have a relentlessly unfun life.
Why?
Because. They're depressed.
That's what he said, right?
This is a great more than a question. But what's the purpose of years of life learning if you don't know how to do simple things like be able to tell if a pair of fulfilling the kosher? Or. Like,
see, that's interesting. That's one of the reasons.
That's one reason why
I actually decided to develop an expertise in hilchot therapy. Because I figured, let me know at least one practice, one thing, practically, how to deal with it. Right?
Okay.
I can't have all theoretical knowledge.
Okay.
And half the Arabian has fringe benefits, because, like, there's no greater joy in Judaism than passing somebody else's eruv.
Okay. Because I thought
this is one of the rare pleasures. This is one of the amazing pleasures of this world. Going on the place and saying, you're irresponsible, you're my fellow
Shabbos. Because I built myself eruv. I have built my own eruv. But I'm trying to say, I consulted your book beforehand, but I didn't find it very,
the book is not a how to build an eruv book.
Yeah, so I didn't find it very helpful actually building my own eruv.
Right.
Why does this not exist? Like methodology for how to. Like, if
there is a book, how to build an eruv. But by Rosh Hashanah, it's called Kitzur HaChazer.
But, I mean, like, so... Like, it's really frustrating, like, if I ever needed to build my own, make my own matzah, I would have no idea how. Like, this is a serious, like...
You go to work to matzah bakery for 1 month,
and you don't know how to get it.
Right.
Does anybody...
Because that's the rest of society is cooking kind of place, right? You and we have many rabbis nowadays, including myself, who have no clue how to salt chicken. Right?
Yes.
The only time I saw salted, I saw the chickens being salted twice. Once in a movie, and once when I went, when I took a tour of Rubashkin in Iowa.
Oh,
but in Europe, not every rabbi knew how to do that.
Of course they did. Every housewife knew how to do it.
Yeah, right. Not too long ago. Right. Right. What? In the 20s?
1940s, like, maybe in 50s. Yeah.
Right. What? Yeah. 1850s. Dude, back in Iran, when you wanted kosher food...
No, 1950s.
Even on a farm in Iran, when we needed kosher food, we had to get our own shochet. He'd come over with his knife, cut right there, and then we salt it. I don't know if we did it.
Americans do not eat meat if they had to do that.
Huh?
Americans only eat meat because the shechita takes place out in Iowa. The shechita takes place... in the orthomath across the driveway.
is there a story by one of these girls, like me, Rabbi Kiva Ayer, or maybe the Hasan Sofer, and they came upon like a butcher or somebody, and you know they said, "Oh, Rabbi, you know, so great, you know, meet and see you. Like, I'm so happy, you know, like where you came, you're such a great person." And that, and I thought the way story was, the Rabbi said, "I'm not so great. Like, you're the great one. Like, it's like everything I do is theoretical. But you're the one that actually like tells everything I learned about." So would like a story like that make sense at all? What they say?
It's a nice story. I don't remember that one. I did hear a variation of it.
You did?
It was okay, not as elaborate, not as powerful.
So
oh,
I heard that story also.
You did?
Yeah, but I heard a little bit different.
The variation I heard of is of that there was a great Rosh Hashiva, the Rebbe Leibowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Leibowitz was Rosh Yeshiva in Lithuania. He died of natural causes in 1940 after the Nazis were conquering Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote he didn't actually write, but they put out a series of Sfarim, which is standard in most Lithuanian yeshivas, called Birchas Shmuel. So he was a big Rosh Yeshiva, and he was also to a certain extent the Rav of Kamenetz where he lived. So once somebody brought him, you know, nowadays people don't do this anymore, but then a person brought him a chicken, which had a shiloh in it. The shiloh was in a gizzard, right? And a gizzard in Hebrew is called a kurkaban. And so the housewife showed him the gizzard and said, "Oh, the halak of kurkaban, the holy kurkaban," right? Because he never knows the course of in practice. For him, it was a theoretical concept which appears in Gemara, in which we say theoretical things, right? And here was the holy Kurkaban in person, right in front of him, this chicken gizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same idea.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't have, in our rarefied ivory tower atmosphere in the yeshiva world, we don't have any practical knowledge of halacha, or very little of it.
Right.
Why was it holy Kurkaban?
What?
Why was it holy?
Because he knows about the Gemara.
Yeah.
They were in front of me, just always wondering. Never
had chicken story. The version I heard was with maybe Kiva, I think it was Kiva Eger. Someone asked him to shech a chicken, which he knew how, you know. And he asked this person, "Could you invest in my business?" He said, "I don't even know you. Why should I invest in your business?" So he said, "You won't invest in my business, but the chicken you would trust me for the shechita." Guy was so embarrassed, he had nothing to say, he just turned around, he zoomed out of there. So like
my story's different than both.
But
it's like, so yeah, there was a rabbi who came here, he said that he had a story like this guy that like, was very unlike this guy, but he wanted to do sukkah, and he came to the one yeshiva, it was a true story, and he wanted like to know how to make the art of it, he said, all the sheep, no one keeps doing it.
How to do what?
He said, "Okay, how many kids think they learn the sheep, and they don't even know how to do armor, like put these on."
Everyone knows how to. That's strange.
He said it's the one that sheep, this guy, I don't know. But no, he did say he had a son-in-law, the one who was learning coolant for 2 years, and you know his daughter asked him what she should get her husband, and the father said, the Rav said, you know, you should get him a knife.
Made a cow.
No, you have a knife, whatever. A cow, but he's got a knife, so he can check. He's been learning a couple of years, and he says he still hasn't used the knife. Like, so, he, but he's like, yeah, comic book.
Gives a cut of cow.
Yeah. Nice, but I mean, which, I mean, it is like that. I mean, coming up, I wanted to become more like some life and
Learn Arabic?
Really?
Well, we're about to get somebody that maybe a little bit over a month now.
Well, certain things are so easy to do. Like a sukkah, all you have to do is you could get a contractor, spend a few $1,000s in your house, you can make these sukkahs, just pop up, put the schach on, and that's it. You have a sukkah. You don't, there's nothing complicated in making a sukkah. That's what you could do.
I learned the halakhah of the sukkah in the Gemara. And like, our school puts out a book that's 150 pages, but I could sum up in about 5 pages written down.
That'd be very silly of you because you wouldn't make money that way.
Exactly. You could make it very simple. If you actually take all the kashas in the Gemara and resolve them, I'm sure, and I've actually read through this through my head.
You want people to buy a book or don't you want people to buy a book?
I don't care if they buy it, I care if they know it. That's more important.
Do you have a pamphlet?
Yeah.
In terms of Kabbalah, I was going to Gomorrah where Rabbi Akiva, are there any actual cases where a person studied Kabbalah and went crazy?
Yeah. No, it's not studying Kabbalah, it was meditation.
Meditation?
Yeah. No, I didn't go crazy, went to OTD. It was Ben Zoma who went crazy.
Overdose.
I mean, more recent.
Overdosed on Kabbalah.
Not like in the Gomorrah, more recent cases.
More recent cases of people who went crazy from meditation?
Yeah.
Maybe
like in the 1500s.
There's this eccentric fellow, we don't know exactly how sane he was. But I had a capital writes about him, however, in a positive light, about Roma Abu Rafia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've heard some wild stuff.
He was a controversial kind of guy.
Really?
Oh, wow.
When did he live?
Oh, he was a prophet. You know, he was kind of an eccentric.
Late 1400s. Why do you think Rabbi Kalman put him in like the positive light?
I guess because he liked the manuscripts.
Really?
He read them.
I know rabbis quote him like a lot.
Yeah.
Him and
Leshem. But the Leshem is this 400 years later.
Oh.
They're not the same time. Leshem is Rabbi Yoshe's grandfather.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Rabbi. Thanks so much for leaving us on tonight.
Oh, wow.
We
got
one more chance to write us on next weekend. That's it. There's a month over next week, Thursday.
Oh, there's a month over next Thursday?
Thursday,
yeah.
Rabbi.
Yes.
How do you know that scale?
We don't know the last scale, but we know that God serves as his tzaddikim in the world to come, so it better be called. You know the famous joke.
What?
Famous joke.
No.
There are two things which are served in the world to come at the great feast, right?
Yeah.
Let's not be taken literally, but let's just take literally for now. There's the wild ox, the shor habor,
right.
And there's the levyotin,
right.
The big fish. So the question is, why do you need the fish? What's the answer?
Just in case somebody doesn't understand. No, just in case somebody doesn't trust Hashem Shechita. Okay, so I still don't understand.
That's cutting, man.
But what's that? The road that 600,000 people travel across of it. What's this called again? Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So is it when they travel it per day or per hour or per year or what? What defines it? Which one defines it?
Any of the above.
It's the capability of being...
That is the customer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, so...